Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
All right, what's the report from outside?
I was outside for maybe 3 minutes. I counted 8 Q-tips. It's got to be one person that just throws their Q-tips out the window when they're done using them in their cars.
It's Mike Shope.
One person?
More than one person using Q-tips and throwing them outside?
I don't think I use 8 Q-tips in a year.
I think I've never used 8 Q-tips.
And the Bulldog.
What the hell is going on out there? I don't think I want to work in a place where people like roll their windows down if they're using Q-tips for Lord knows what and just throw them on the ground.
Well, you do.
What, is it the 70s?
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Driving on the highway 65 miles an hour. I get a little left in my soda from the fast food drive. Out the window. Yeah. That was the 70s. Who gives an F about anything?
Throw a burrito out the window.
Nothing matters. 2025, what are you doing?
On WGR.
Throwing Q-tips out of your car.
Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, you know, we try to get to the bottom of all the weighty societal issues here on this show. It's a well-rounded program. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away today and tomorrow. Zach Jones alongside. We go now to the West Her Hotline for one of our favorites. Semi-regular? Was this like 4 times a year, Matt? I don't know. I don't want to get us in trouble for calling you too often, but we always love when Matt Waldman answers the bat signal for us. Matt, how's your summer going?
Oh, it's going great. I'm getting a chance to go to Hades, otherwise known as Arizona, to go see my dad for his 80th birthday this week.
Well, that's awesome.
So, we'll see how that is. But it's not as hot as Georgia. It's hotter, but not as humid. So it'll be a break from the ninth gate that I live in.
Right. Rookie scouting portfolio, and you're I don't know if you've always been, but you're in the fantasy space more prominently, I feel like, in the last little while. Is that right?
Well, I think everybody comes to know me in a different path. I've been a fantasy writer since 2003.
Holy cow.
But what most people know me from the radio probably in the past 10 years is with the RSP, because the rookie scouting portfolio, right, the draft stuff I've been doing for about 20 years.
All right.
Footballguys.com.
I am learning stuff. Right, Football Guys is where that's at. Is just buzzing through the Twitter feed. Well, Matt, let's get into the Bills here, and maybe if we have time, we get through the division and take a look at the other contenders in the conference. But I've been spending time today talking about fans and their hope tank, because it's 8 years of McDermott already, 7 years of Josh Allen. Well, they're going into 9 and 8 respectively, so they've completed that many. And a lot of people are clinging to this no coach and quarterback combo that doesn't win a Super Bowl within their first 5 years has ever done it thing. And we're getting a little itchy, I think, in Buffalo. What's your view from Georgia or soon to be Arizona on the Bills moving into 2025?
I mean, I think that overall you changed offenses in recent years. You've certainly added youth around you and gotten rid of a primary caliber receiver, at least at the time, in Stephon Diggs. So now you're counting on younger guys or guys who are young to step up. And so there's a lot of different adjustments there. And I think that that's something that when you're a team that's in a contention window, like the Bills have been, and you've got tight competition with, at least strong offenses like yours, whether it's the Ravens or the Chiefs, or even when the Bengals have a good year with what Joe Burrow can bring to the table, you're looking at things where the margins of error can be pretty small for you. And I think on the analyst end of the spectrum, rather, as a fan, I can see that, and it's a nice bar stool conversation to be able to say no team in 5 years mm-hmm. did that. And I understand that, but at the same time, what's maybe more meaningful for me is how can this team get better so that it can elevate itself in comparison to what the Ravens are doing on offense or what the Chiefs do. And I think really it would be, how does Josh Allen play versus pressure? Not the blitz. The blitz is, we look at the blitz as knowing that the defense is sending extra guys and getting pressure. And how does the team pick that up? Josh Allen's really good at that. He had a 64% completion percentage last year with 1,554 yards and 17 touchdowns. Those 17 touchdowns were better than, like, if I'm looking at, say, 10 of the better quarterbacks in the league that I was looking at, that was the best mark. His interception percentage was only 1%. His sack percentage was only 4%, all really strong numbers. But pressure is really the difference maker. And when I'm talking about pressure, I'm most of Bills fans know this because they're astute football fans, but it's, you know, pressure is when you're not sending extra players. It's unexpected pressure, mm-hmm. pressure that breaks your offensive line, things that your quarterback hasn't sniffed out and wouldn't sniff out because it just, it basically works through what your line is able to do and they're not sending extra guys. That's when you start seeing completion percentages plummet. So a good example of a guy who's two guys who have been really good or three guys who have been really good completion percentage wise against pressure last year. You have Lamar Jackson at 51%. Doesn't sound great, right? But that's good. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, 54%. Joe Burrow at 58.8%. Now, of guys like him and Jaden Hurts and Mahomes and even Sam Darnold last year and some of the nice rookies that we saw, Allen was the lowest of that sample at 43.4%. And you look at and his touchdown rate was a little was on the higher end, but it wasn't the highest. It was 8 touchdowns. So, and then his sack percentage was 13%, which isn't awful. It's actually better than most of the guys that I profiled. But what you're seeing there is, to me, how you play against pressure is not just about you as a quarterback, but it's about your team. How can your team make adjustments and respond? And you've got some young guys and like Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir is still young as a starter. You still have Dalton Kincaid young as a starter, and you're bringing in, you have guys like that. And you've also learned to spread the ball around more and not lean on just one guy. So as a unit, if this team's really going to manage that margin of error and start to beat the better teams where, you know, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and guys like that who are playing very well against pressure with their completion percentage and have more maybe more established veterans to work with too, you've got to see Allen's receivers and Allen step up to the point where they can find quick solutions. Because as good as Allen is as at extending plays, you know that there's an inherent risk when you extend plays as well as he does. He had 6 fumbles against pressure, which was some of, you know, one of the more of the higher rates of the guys that I compared to. And, you know, that's something that, but you also get big plays out of him. Where he's averaging 7.3 yards per attempt. So he's kind of a boom. It's kind of a, you know, go big or go home with him sometimes. But if I think this offense is trying to go in a direction of saying, hey, pick the easy plays. If you can make those little easy plays like Tom Brady could, like Joe Burrow can, like Lamar Jackson has learned to do, you can help us in the big moments where we really need you to go big or go home.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's the margin that might help them.
Very fortunate to not lose those fumbles. The Bills only lost 2 fumbles last year, Matt. I don't know if you know that. It's an insane number. It's some very good fortune there. Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio on the Wester Hotline with me here on WGR. Yeah, as you were laying that out, the bells that started going off in my head about Allen and his numbers versus pressure as opposed to blitz, is that not where I need a receiver to win quickly one-on-one?
That's right. And, you know, the guy that I think there's 2 guys that are hoping for that. You know, one, you certainly Khalil Shakir is a hot route player and what he can do after the catch, but you want that physical guy who can make defenses pay by going up and getting it or winning those slant routes against physical coverage. And you saw moments of that for Keon Coleman last year. Josh Palmer as a backup can do some of that for you, but Coleman's the guy that you really want to see take that next step because you saw some good yak numbers from him last year and moments. You saw what he was able to do on some 3rd and 4th down plays in when it was cover 1 or cover 0 or even cover 3 where they had a good alignment against cover 3 and they could throw the fades or the quick slants. And he could give you the yards after the catch. He could box out and win tight. And I think the less he has to think, because now he's more familiar with the scheme and the different hots and adjustments and getting on the same page with Allen, what you're going to hope is going to happen is that he can show you more of what he did so well at FSU. And that can make him a guy that will make opposing defenses pay because, as I talked about last year, when he's fully acclimated to a system, there was no other player in that wide receiver class who I would rather have win a contested play and go up and get that. So, and you saw signs of it, mm-hmm. but it, as he got hurt and, you know, as the season went on, it wasn't as consistent, as strong, and he had some drops. But I think this year will be telling. If he's prepared, you've got continuity with the system, if he can demonstrate that he's not having to think about things, this could be a nice step-up year for him and help that cause that we're talking about.
How vital is it for him to add layers to his game, though? Because I agree with you on the jump ball thing. I was all over the road with Coleman as a prospect leading up to the 24 draft, Matt. He was the first receiver we expected after the Diggs trade. Bills are going to they're going to be looking for a receiver, and he was my first crush watching college football in like October, just seeing the plays he was making. And then, you know, you get into the draft process and you're reading about separation numbers and different things. They're like, I don't know. I don't want my hope as a new number one receiver eventually to be a guy whose specialty is winning 50-50 balls, right? I don't think you can live for too long if that's the thing you do best. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think what we should maybe do is reframe the conversation from some of the data collectors who talk about separation percentage, because separation percentage, when you scout, can be helpful as a layer, but if you lean too much on it, you're not looking at the techniques that actually create separation. You're just looking at the results of whether he did or he didn't. Mm-hmm. And then people can say, well, he's not a good separator, when actually he can develop into a good separator. Or he's a really great separator, and you realize that actually, you know, you've got people like Steve Smith looking at, like, you know, Tetsorin McMillan, and literally drawn memes of guys hitting themselves in the, you know, in the groin, basically, as a response to them drafting him, because he doesn't think he can separate. And I would agree that there's some issues there. When you look at Coleman, he has the ability to drop his weight and decelerate. And you've seen that even on film against the Ravens on some routes where he was able to break free, or against, I believe it was the Titans, where I saw a nice play where he was able to get yards after the catch because he broke off the route well. So the big thing to me, the mechanics are there for him to be a decent separator. I don't think he's your classic number one on the outside. I think he's better off either being a T. Higgins type in that on the outside, or being more of a Michael Thomas type of archetype on the inside, where you can give him a little bit more play on the inside to win deep. And you don't have to he doesn't have to maximize his speed. He can be more using his acceleration and his deceleration to get that separation. So for me, you're never going to get a Jamar Chase out of, you know, mm-hmm. Keon Coleman, but you might be able to get a better version of T. Higgins, the version that fans think is a number one receiver in his own right if he went somewhere else, but actually be that kind of player playing inside out. And that the key thing for him is going to be making sure that he and Josh have that telepathy of understanding what the coverage is showing and what they both want to do, and be able to be on that same page and do it instantaneously. The better he can do that, the higher upside his game is going to be.
Matt, while we're here, the rest of the receivers, you mentioned Josh Palmer there. That was a free agent signing, not a bank-breaking signing, but still, for the Bills, a significant outlay. Where do you see him fitting in? I assume that the starting three, when they have three receivers on the field, will be Palmer, Coleman, and Shakir. I don't know what they'll do with their tight ends and all that. They got a lot of pieces, and everybody eats. But how about Palmer specifically? What sort of player do you think the Bills got their hands on in signing him as a free agent?
I mean, I think he fits kind of what's the general bag of this, of the basically the general toolbox that this wide receiver core is, which is guys who can run after the catch, guys who can win on contested plays as needed, but not necessarily great separators downfield in terms of what they have to offer. They can win separation off play action, you know, off of plays where they can work behind the defense on slower developing plays. And I think that these are all options who do a good job of being able to be complementary players for a quarterback who's being asked to distribute the football quicker to more guys, to not lean too hard on one player. And they've had success with that last year. And I think that they're just adding more to it, thinking the more weapons we have who can do a few things really well in a versatile way, the more we can mix and match them with different matchups that we like, and the more continuity we have with that offense. And I think Palmer is that guy who realistically is probably going to get you 400 to 600 yards of offense as a receiver if he's used as that tertiary option. If he's going to be used as the secondary option, maybe he can get you, if you need to lean on him more, maybe if Coleman isn't working out or Shakir gets hurt or something like that, maybe you can get him into that 600 to 800 yard range and get that value. But I think you've got Buffalo's that team that looks like on paper that you could have three or four receivers who are going to give you somewhere between, you know, 600 to 800 yards, with maybe the top guy getting, you know, close to 1,000 yards or a little over it. But I don't think this team is designed right now to be where they're saying, yeah, we have a 1,300, 1,500 right, yard receiver.
Right. How about Elijah Moore? That wasn't at the front end of free agency. It was the day or two after the draft, actually, that the Bills signed Elijah Moore. And I feel like with your background, Matt, like the draft and prospect ranking and even fantasy, Elijah Moore, I feel like, was something of a folk hero in those communities for the last few years. Like, it was sort of waiting for him to blast off, and it has not really happened yet. Is there still a player in there that the Bills can be really happy they got their hands on, or do you think it's been just a lot of hype?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been a little bit more hype than it should have been, and I think that's because, you know, everyone, just like everyone likes to look at running Marshall Faulk or Christian McCaffrey or even Austin Eckler, and what they really get is Shane Vereen and a bunch of guys like that who can be decent but not, you know, not unbelievable. I think the same thing happens with teams when they see a player like Elijah Moore and they go, oh, he's the next Steve Smith. Rondale Moore, he's the next Steve Smith. And there is no next Steve Smith. You know, there are going to be a next new unique guy. Then they're going to be copying those types of archetypes too. I think that Elijah Moore is a good player. I think that he's someone that you can get good zone play out of. If you wanted to use him more as a runner or a more of a gadget type of player who can give you some work on, you know, perimeter runs and RPOs, you can get a lot of that out of him, and that could be helpful. And I think he makes a good player who, again, is redundancy. If any of the players, you know, if Shakir or Palmer get hurt, you can put him in those roles. And he could do good work for you, and he can be productive. And then the fantasy crowd can go, see, I told you, this is what we got, you know,
right.
I don't think, you know, the jump, the contested fade routes and things like that you saw him do at Ole Miss, that's like things he could do there, but you're not leaning on him to do that at this level. And he's not a mismatch that way. So yeah, that strength and positioning is like, that's good. It's a nice parlor trick in relative to what he actually is on an every down basis. So good player for the depth chart, not really a guy you're going to look at and go, oh, he's a 1,200 yard receiver in the making.
Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio and Football Guys senior staff writer on the Western Hotline for just a couple of more minutes with me here on WGR. So the division, would you expect a pretty smooth trip barring anything freakish injury wise? Or do you think the Patriots are objects closer than they appear in the mirror? Because I don't feel great about the Dolphins. I want to hear what you think, and the Jets, I think, are starting over.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jets remain the horror show that they've been, and they've got Jeffrey Baratheon basically as the owner's son or grandson playing Jeffrey Baratheon from Game of Thrones over there, you know, even though the father denies that. So we can safely ignore them for now. And then I think you're right about Miami. It seems like a situation where you know, even if the skill players rebound, how's the trench work there? And I think that that's the trench work and being able to stay healthy at you know, quarterback, that could ultimately still be a downfall that we're leaning towards and wanting to see if they prove us wrong. Yeah, I mean, certainly New England, you can see that they have, you know, second-year quarterback who did pretty well first year, you know, in Drake May. But still, you want to see that offensive line get better, him do a better job against pressure and blitzes. And he still has a young receiving core, and this team is still, like, trying to get out of the idea that not every receiver is a slot receiver. Like, they've, you know, that's been New England's downfall, that they can only pick slot receivers or variants of that. And their leading receiver was Kayshon Boutte last year in terms of as an X, and he's way better off as a slot receiver or a flanker slot combo, and they stuck him out at X. It's a miracle he played as well as he did out of his element. And so with Kyle Williams being that hot rookie, you know, who can certainly separate, we'll see if he can hold on to the football when the lights come on, because he clap attacks a lot of stuff. But I think that it's still an adjustment year for this team. They still got to find themselves. You're going to see big plays, but I think you're going to see a much more of a boom-bust team that may start hot and finish flat, or the opposite. So I think it is smooth sailing for the division. It's just, you know, who they face in the playoffs and how healthy the Bills will be and how healthy their competition will be.
Rather than just ask you about the Ravens and the Chiefs and the usual suspects here contender-wise, is there a team that you see in the AFC coming, I don't want to say from the back, I mean, the Chargers and the Broncos were both in the playoffs last year. I think they're reasonable answers for this. You know, whether they can unseat the Chiefs is another matter, but, you know, they look like they're heading in the right direction. I don't know, the Bengals missed last year, but they're still the Bengals that went to the Super Bowl a few years ago, mostly. I mean, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, like, that's the guts of it, I think. What do you think of the Bengals and maybe the Chargers and the Broncos, Matt?
Broncos. Yeah, I mean, certainly with the Broncos, nice young team. It's always nice to see quarterbacks succeed early, but as a scout, I've seen over and over again that it takes about 18 to 30 games to really see what you got with a player, because then defenses have a whole off season to see what you've been doing successfully, where you may be having issues, and game plan against you, and then they have to overcome that and show that they can grow past what they did well in college and just acclimated fast to showing what they could do basically in the NFL. So I think that the Broncos are still about a year away, and the hype is there because Sean Payton likes to compare every player that comes into that team to some Saints archetype, and people don't realize that he's comparing style, not talent. You know, I mean, Blake Watson, who I liked as a late round guy, got compared to Alvin Kamara last year. Okay. And people were like, oh my God, you know, this is a big time sleeper. RJ Harvey did, and they brought in J.K. Dobbins. So this is a good team. They'll probably challenge for a wild card, if not the division, but I don't think that they're quite there yet, as good as the defense was at times. The Chargers, you talked about them. I'll just say briefly, I have, you know, just you look at the track record, Ladd McConkey aside, if you look at the 49ers track record with, you know, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman back then, they did not pick very good skill talent. I don't think they pick very good skill talent now in terms of, like, what they do. So I think that Harbaugh is basically taking a prime Justin Herbert, and he's, you know, he's making him more of a game manager type than a guy than leading with him. So it could work out, but I think that this team, again, a little bit of time away. Burrow, yeah, I mean, look, if they can if the front office can get out of their way and let Shamar Stewart actually sign him and get him in there, and they can get more from Miles Murphy off the edge too, who seems to have worked hard and has the talent. Both those guys have tremendous talent and could really upgrade this defense just by the ability to deliver pressure. And then, you know, this team understands where its bread's buttered. And how to lead with their passing offense. I mean, the Texans are interesting to me only because if the line can get a little bit better, I think that, and they can keep that running game rather healthy. If Joe, I'm a little worried about Joe Mixon still in that boot, and then bringing Nick Chubb aboard. If Chubb somehow has something left, to deliver, this team could be interesting from that perspective, especially in a weaker division right now, where there's still, you know, a lot of questions with all of those teams and youth or just unsettled quarterback situations. The Texans might have an easy ride and some confidence heading into the playoffs, and if they can stay healthy, they can make some noise.
Matt, I appreciate the time, the info, as always. Enjoy your trip to not-so-humid Arizona. Happy birthday to your dad, and thanks for always answering our call, man. We really appreciate it.
Man, it's always a pleasure, and go Bills.
All right, Matt Waldman on the West Her Hotline Rookie Scouting Portfolio, at Matt Waldman on the X/Twitter machine. Also, launched 20 years in the fantasy space, Football Guys senior staff writer. Boy, if Mike were here, I would have gotten smacked for not knowing that about Matt. But anyway, love the info from Matt. We'll take a time out here and sort of unpack some of that, the receiver room, where it all is going to fit together. I'll make sure and mention Elijah Moore's workout video again, because everybody's just gushing over that. Oh my God, look at the little pellets of turf flying! I'm making fun, yes. 803-0550 is the number you want to get in. We'll reset the conversation about the Bills and your hope tank as well as we go. So please do join me. Mike is off today. I am the Bulldog along with Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.